I'm Steve Brosvik, B as in boy, R-O-S, V as in Victor, I-K, and I'm the Chief Operating Officer of the Nashville Symphony.
Yeah, okay. Kind of the genesis of this idea. Where did the idea come from to bring the instruments here?
Well, Dan Grossman, who's our director, our VP of marketing, had heard about the instruments, and he brought the idea up to us, and we thought ever so briefly, took moments actually, and we said, okay, we need to find out more. We were intrigued by the instruments. We instantly started thinking about what could become the conversation using the instruments as a launching point. I was able to then get up to Cleveland, which in fall of 2015 was hosting an exhibit of the instruments. And in the last final days of the exhibition, I was able to get up there and see them and talk with some of the people who had presented the exhibit in Cleveland. And I got back and we started calling partners right away and got in touch with Mark Friedman from the Jewish Federation, and we moved forward from there. Mm-hmm.
The collection of instruments, are they in fact a collection? And if so, you know, who has control of the instrument? What's kind of the, is there a guiding light for that? Or?
Amnon Weinstein and his son Avshi, who is also a violin maker, they have a shop in Tel Aviv, and they have been restoring the instruments for a number of years now. I actually think about two decades. So as people are finding out the history of these instruments from survivors and their families, they have started by word of mouth to understand the love and care that the Weinsteins are putting into restoring the instruments, and they're bringing them to them. In some cases, there were German instruments. They're made by German makers. And the family said, we understand, but we can't do anything with this. If you don't take it from us, we're just going to get rid of it because we know where it came from and how it was used, and we want no part of it. So they have taken these instruments in and are really restoring them to bring a voice back to the instrument and to bring a voice back to what happened.
Impressive that so many organizations here in Middle Tennessee have partnered. Tell me about that process, what it was like getting folks on board.
It's been an incredible process. And while we have 27 partners right now, I know more people will step forward and want to participate. And I know this only because every single conversation that we have had with an arts organization or a university or with a religious organization, once we've had a few moments to start having the conversation, instantly people are saying, we'll figure out what we want to do, but we want to participate. They understand the message, they understand the possibility of the citywide dialogue that this exhibition of instruments can create, and they want to be part of it. No one has said no. Everyone has basically said, what can we do?
The piece of music, or pieces of music that you've commissioned, talk to me about that for a moment and whether or not there were any parameters put on that. Did you ask for anything in particular?
We really didn't. Jonathan Leshnoff is a Jewish American composer. He's a composer that we have done other of his works and had started a recording project of his works. And we were looking for the right piece to finish that project. And when this came up, we instantly said, Jonathan is an extraordinary composer. He's Jewish, he's American, we've done his works in the past and we have a relationship with him, so the choice for us was instantaneous who we should ask. He knows the size of the orchestra, he knows what instruments we have, and essentially we said, this is what your new piece would be commemorating, tell us what you think. And we have let him take creative license to create the piece that he wants.
Yeah, so he's then familiar with the instruments and what their capability will be.
Well, he knows of the project, and the capability of the instruments, I think, was a little bit less important than what they represent. There's a lot of work going into each one of these instruments. I think there's $15,000 to $20,000 worth of hours of work by the family going into each one of these instruments to get them back to playing condition. And as they are looking at each instrument and restoring it, they have taken a group of instruments, which I believe they now have 63 in their shop that are in various stages of repair. We'll have 34 instruments here that are ready to be seen in Nashville. Only 25 of those are instruments that Amnon and his son Avshi have said, these are instruments that you would want to have the orchestra playing. They're in the condition and ready to do it, and will be worthy of a performance of the Nashville Symphony.
Yeah. So it won't be just those instruments, but they'll just be joining the orchestra here?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Certainly not a musician myself, so I'm also curious about what that's like for people who play at this level to be asked in a major performance to play with an instrument that they're not really familiar with. I realize they're professionals and can pick up a broom and,
and make it sound good.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what's that process like?
It can be unsettling. Musicians in any position in this orchestra or any of the other major orchestras or any of the orchestras, really, when you may search for years, sometimes decades, to find the right instrument that fits you, that speaks well, that you instantly have a bond with, and you kind of understand each other. And I know that sounds unusual, maybe to a non-musician, but when you have the right instrument in your hands, you know it. And you can innately work with that instrument to create what you are hearing inside your head. And that makes it easier. When you hand somebody a new instrument that they've never performed on before, they have to very quickly find the way to work with that instrument to bring out its best qualities and allow them to speak musically as they would like, and they would like to represent the music of the composer. Our musicians are only going to have a couple of days to do that. We'll have rehearsals Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, and then we're going to be recording this piece. Everyone that plays one of these instruments will be wanting to do it. We're not telling anyone you have to put down your personal violin and pick up one of these, but I don't think we're going to have any issue with people wanting to have this experience. And the recording of this piece, it's special because it's being written for this week of performances. We hope it'll have a life much beyond this, but it's really special, and it's written for this case with these instruments in mind.
Yeah. Do you know if this set of instruments has ever been used in a recording session before? Have they ever been recorded?
They have been. There have been some videos of performances and some promotional materials, et cetera, of performances. And there's also a documentary which shows moments of the Cleveland Orchestra playing them when the instruments were there in 2015. But there hasn't been any commercial recordings of, and certainly not a commission of music that has been done and created just for this.
Hmm. Yeah. All right, well, I guess I certainly can understand how this would be appealing for musicians to get to an opportunity to interact with music, with instruments that have so much history. But beyond all of that, what is it that the symphony hopes to accomplish by with such a major push involving so many partners and so many moving parts? What is it that you hope all of this will accomplish?
Well, I think for us, when the instruments are gone and the project is over and we're sitting in a room in June of 2018 thinking back about all the things that have happened, I think we will be looking forward to what we hope will be long and enduring relationships and partnerships with all the organizations who participated in this event. Long and enduring relationships with anyone who had part in a conversation, who read the book and understood the messages of the instruments and the music, to anyone across the city, really, who has an opportunity to rethink about the best elements of themselves and where they fit within this great community. This is a city founded on cultural roots in music and the arts, and looking forward to using that as a driving force as we continue to grow and become the metropolis that we will be. I think having this conversation now is really, really vitally important, and hopefully it will be just a launching point for that conversation to continue as we grow and develop into what the city will become.